Hey cuties, and welcome to a spanking brand new episode of the podcast. If it is your first time joining us, where have you been? Like, where have you been all my life? Anyway, I hope you like it over here and you decide to stay and come back again and again and again. And if you're coming back again, hi, how you doing? I hope you're well. I hope you have been taking care of yourself, doing all that good stuff, into your self-care, loving yourself, loving other people, hydrating, moving your body. I've been doing some of those things. So, yeah, I think I can try and motivate you to be doing some of those things in your life. I hope we're all well. So, today, first of all, before I get into today's episode, let me just say one thing. If you listened to the previous episode, if you didn't, please go back and listen to it. Because why are you listening to this one without listening to the previous one? But then it's kind of going to give context to what I'm about to say. So, in the previous episode, I was complaining about how I don't really feel like I want to create anything right now. Like, I don't feel like, you know, like my ideas. I don't have any idea. I don't even feel like I have the energy to be speaking into the mic. And God said to Moses, hold my holy water. Hold my cup of holy water. Because what does she mean that she doesn't feel like creating when I'm... God was like, don't play with me because I'm not playing with you. And literally, I put out that episode last week, Sunday. Today is Monday, a week after. And in the past week, God has just been sort of like reviving my energy in terms of like podcasting or giving me like things to talk about. And let me just say, I'm excited for what this looks like and what this is going to bring, because I've just been getting some cool ideas and I'm like, it can only be God, honestly. There's no way that this is my own doing, because if it was up to me, I was like, let's shut it. Okay, I wasn't like, let's shut it down, but then I was just like, ich hab ehrlich gesagt keinen Bock. Like, I don't have the energy, I don't have, I'm just not feeling it right now. And God was like, it's fine, just, you're gonna feel it. Which like, emphasizes the importance of being honest with God, because when you tell him your feelings and your emotions as they are, then he's able to take that and turn it into what he wants to use it for, right? Like, he's able to take that honesty and partner up with that honesty and revive you, just like he has revived me, or work in your life in a way that you didn't expect. And so, without further ado, let's get into today's topic. So I've decided that this is very corny, I know, don't judge me. But since we're in the month of February, the month of love, I decided that we're going to be talking about love. And again, going back to why I say this is God's idea and not my idea. If it was up to me, we wouldn't really be talking about love, because I'm just like, okay. I don't know, man. But then I feel like God has something that he wants me to say, or rather, I have something that I could say about it. So, yeah, this past week, I've just been thinking about, like, love and all the experiences of love around me. And so I was like, for this month, let's dedicate this month into love, because I just came across this brilliant idea and me and God have just been working at it. But because, like, the idea came to me already, I think when I first had the initial idea, it was, like, on the 7th of February. And I was just like, we're already, like, a week into February, and February is quite short. So for me to be, like, I'm going to limit it only to February. So I think I might be stretching it into March. We'll see how it goes and what it is that we have to speak about and what it is that we have to unpack. But then for starters, I was like, if we're going to be talking about love, let's talk about where it started. Let's talk about the genesis, the beginning of love, because I feel like for me that has helped me and it continues to help me to understand love, how to love, and what love necessarily is. So I'm realizing that I didn't Google the definition of love. Give me a moment, let me, because I want to give you the internet definition, or rather the dictionary definition. And then, before I get into, like, my own experiences of love, right? So, according to the internet, definitions from Oxford Languages, love is an intense feeling of deep affection a great intense and pleasure in something, to feel deep affection for someone, to like or enjoy very much, right? A quality or feeling of strong or constant affection for and dedication to another, right? Let me just try and look for synonyms for love. But that's basically like the definition, right? According to the internet. And some synonyms include deep affection, fondness, tenderness, warmth, intimacy, attachment, liking, weakness, partiality, bent, leaning, proclivity. Oh, these are opposite words, sorry. So the opposite words are weakness, partiality, bent, leaning, proclivity, inclination. Some of these words, I don't know what they mean, and I'm not about to Google them. Sorry, if there's a word that you heard and you'd like to Google it, go ahead, babes. Go ahead and research what it means. I'm not about to do that. But then, let's get into my personal experience of love, or rather God's love, because that's where I want us to start the Genesis, which is agape love. And agape is basically an unconditional love, like just to put it in broad terms, right? Excuse me. Hold on, I'm trying to find my words, okay? This is a love that for some time I think I struggled to like grasp, and I would be lying if I said I have grasped it, but God has given me a certain understanding of it. So as someone who grew up in like a Christian background, we grew up going to church. One thing about my mother, she made sure that we went to church as often as possible. We couldn't go every Sunday for whatever reasons, but then she just made sure that no one is not going to church in our house, right? So because I grew up with that background, and you grew up in church, you grew up hearing John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. See how I know that? Because it was drilled into me as a child. So as a child, I'm growing up, that's the definition of love that I get in the church, right? But then because I was a child, there was a knowledge that didn't have a deeper understanding of what John 3:16 actually means. Like, what do you mean God gave his son? Why? Just because he loved the world. Why did he love the world like that? And stuff like that, right? But then as I began to grow in my life and through experiences, I began to see and understand God's love, and to understand what that John 3:16 means. Because when I was younger, I didn't understand why like God would just love you like that. I think when you are a child and when you're growing up, the most times where maybe for some of us where you receive like, okay, first of all, I associated love with like affection and attention, right? Especially attention. So when you're growing up, for some of us, the most times that you experience a lot of attention as a child is when maybe, let's say, you're doing well in school and stuff like that. And for me, that was like my experience. I'm not saying I didn't receive attention at home, but then I'm just saying from what I can remember, when I came home with flying colors, that's when it was like, yo, you are a star. So that's when I got like a lot more attention. And so I just got, I think, programmed to associating love with like attention, right? Because like I do well, okay, you're happy at the fact that I did well, and then you give me this attention, right? And so I couldn't understand why the Bible, or why when preachers teach about it, they say that God just loves us and we don't have to do anything for God's love. And I'm like, what do you mean that God loves me and I don't have to earn his love? Like, I don't have to perform to be deserving and to be worthy of God's love. Like, he just loves me just like that, just in J. What do you mean by that? I had a hard time grasping that, right? And through growing up, through experiences, and also through getting into like the wrong romantic relationships at the time, or rather relationships that showed me that love is not this, that's how I got to learn more about God's love and be like, this person that's manipulating you or whatever, like they're not treating you well, that's not love. And then God had just to show me his love, like, this is what love means, this is how I love you, and this is how this should be your definition of love, right? And so through growing and through understanding that, I just began to see like God's love. And I went through a series of, like, I would say rebellion in my younger years, like my teenage years. And in my 20s, I was just like, I think I consider myself a good child. But then with being a good child, I was also a very problematic child, right? So I was just hot-headed, but also a good child at the same time. Like, I just always had this balance, right? But then in my rebellion and stuff like that, that's when I didn't, like, accept God's love for me. Because I was just like, what do you mean you love me? I don't understand, so I'm not going to take that. But then deep down, I always knew that, like, God loves me because of the background that I grew up in and what it is that I was taught at home about God's love, right? And so when I saw God's love for me the most, there's a lot of events in my life, honestly, if I can put it that way. There's way too many events when I've seen God's love in the way that he shows up for me and stuff like that. But then mostly it was when I was heartbroken because of romantic relationships that didn't work out. And at the time, God was the only person that I could talk to. God was the only person that felt like he understands. It felt like he's there for me. It felt like, in as much as I may have gone out of my way and I was in rebellion by even getting into this type of relationships, he's not judging me. He's literally, like, welcoming me with open arms. And I may be the prodigal son, but then he's being the loving father that the Bible talks about. I think it's in Luke 16, where the prodigal son, when he returns home, his father literally gets up to meet him halfway, and he hugs him, and he's showing him love and compassion, and he's just happy to have him home because he loves him and he's his father. So that's how I experienced God's love. And even when I was going through, for lack of a better word, I would say a depressive period in my life, which was a couple of periods in my life, and I felt alone, and I just felt like, I might die here. God was the person that I turned to. In as much as there was a lack of understanding, right? But then within that, I still leaned onto God, and I was like, it's either I'm gonna die, or you're gonna do something about my situation, or you're gonna heal me. And he was like, okay, I can work with that. Come, let's talk about it. Let's find the solution to the problem and whatnot and whatnot. I won't get into too much details about things because some of the things will be covered in the episodes to come in the future. So that's why I'm just trying to give like a grab. Hey, sorry. This thing of mixing German and English. Just trying to give like a broad explanation of my experience of God's love, right? And so that was basically where that came from. Even in those moments when I felt alone, I'm gonna say this, I've been living in Europe for almost like 6 years now. I left home when I was like 19, and from that moment that I've left home, I'm not gonna lie, I've always felt like alone because I was separated from my family. And by separated, I mean like physically. Not that anyone forced me or anything, but then that act of leaving home and moving abroad to try and pursue a life for me, it meant that I didn't get to see my family every day. I used to see my siblings every day because we lived in the same house. And so moving from seeing your siblings each and every day of your life for the past, I don't know how many years, and to not seeing them at all, and to just having your communication being through the phone, and even with my parents, like, communication was just through the phone, it came with a lot of difficulty for me. That was a very difficult season to navigate, and I just felt alone. And even in that moment, God showed me that in me being alone, he was always there with me, and he's always there with me, and stuff like, wait, excuse me, guys, I need to sneeze, sorry. Okay, so now that we've gotten that irritating urge to sneeze out of the way, as I was saying, that
experience of being away from family and being away from the friends and life as I knew it, it came with a lot of loneliness and being alone and like just feeling so lost. But then in all that, God gave me comfort. He always called me to himself, even in my rebellion. This is so funny. When I was rebelling from God and I'd be like living knee deep in sin, God would literally sometimes maybe send a friend of mine to be like, yo, do you want us to pray together? And I'm like, okay, yeah, sure, let's pray. And in all those moments, I recognized that that was God calling me back to himself. Like, that was God leaving the 99 just to pursue the one that was me. Because it's like, what do you mean I'm going about my thing and I'm being seen and you're randomly texting me and being like, oh, let's pray together, or oh, let's have a conversation about God? And it was a thing of my friends most of the time didn't know maybe what was going on. Whoever it was that was reaching out wouldn't know what was going on. But then I feel like God put it in their heart to be like, let's go fetch that one. She's straying a little too far. Let's go and fetch her. So that's just how I experienced God's love. And even in the people around me and in the way that they showed me love and all of that. So I'm busy talking about God's love. I don't want to give you guys too much of my own experience and my own knowledge. Let's go to what his word says about love. And maybe, and I hope, not that maybe, I really hope that that would help me and you understand God's love more. So why does God love men? Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 to 27 talks about how God said, let us create men in our own likeness. Let us create men in our own image. So God loves men because God created men in his image. In James chapter 3, verse 9, it talks about how God created man in his similitude. And that word similitude, it means that there was a similarity, like there's a quality of being similar between man and God. So God loves men because he created man and put a quality of himself in man, right? That's why God loves men. And why am I saying God created man? Psalm 100 verse 3 tells us that none of us created ourselves and that it is God who created us, right? We got that out the way. So that's why God loves man, right? He created us. And then I mentioned John 3 chapter 16, right, earlier. Let's go back and explore that. It says that God loved man so much that he sent his only son into the world to die for our sins, so that we may be reconciled through him. And I think verse 17 says that he sent his son not to like condemn us or to punish us, but that through his son we may be saved. So how do we go from God creating man to God sending his son to die for man? What do you mean by that? Like, why does that happen? How do we move from that to the other, right? I'm glad you asked, even though you didn't ask. Romans chapter 5 verse 8, it tells us how whilst we were sinners, Christ died for us. Wait, what? We're sinners? What do you mean we're sinners? When did we sin? Who did we sin against? Right. The Bible talks about how we were born sinners, right? Born sinners? I didn't do nothing. I just got born and you're telling me that I'm a sinner. So what had happened was, right, when God made man in Genesis, or in Genesis, however you want to put it. Oh, growing up, actually, I learned that it's Genesis. But then now, because I'm just trying to be fancy for you guys, I'm like, Genesis. But it's Genesis to me. So, in Genesis, God created man, right? Made man two beautiful people because he made man and a woman, right? And then he put them in the garden. What did man and woman do? They went against God and they ate of the fruit that they were not supposed to eat of, which caused them to fall away and to be separated from God, right? So because of the sin of the because of the sin of the first man and the first woman, all of us that were born into sin, right? In Psalm 51 verse 5, David acknowledges that sin is part of a human nature from birth, because he talks about how in sin his mother conceived him, because through that disobedience and the fall and the falling away of Adam and Eve, sin got introduced into the world, and now everyone else that was born is born into sin, right? And Romans talks about how all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God, right? So that's how the sin part comes in, and that is why God has to send his son to die for us, right? And because God loved us so much, he was like, first of all, guys, it's not like God had 10 sons to pick from and to be like, yeah, you know what, Jacob, John, Jude, Mpo, Moses, Jesus, which one of you guys wants to go to earth to die from? No, he only has one son. Let me tell you something, Lord, forgive me, but like, if I had one son and I had to send him to die for people's sins, I'd be like, no ways. Ain't no ways. And you know why I'd be saying ain't no ways? Because these people that I'm sending my son to die for, it's not like when he dies for them, they're going to be like, okay, we are stopping sinning. We, you know what, Lord, now we are all going to follow you. We are going to live on the straight and narrow. No. They are going to keep on falling short. I'm going to have to keep on picking them back up, and I'm going to have to keep on, you know, trying to motivate them to live their Christian. Like, I'm just going to have to keep on encouraging them. I'd have been like, nah, not my son. Why is my son having to die for these people? And some of them are going to disrespect me and whatever and whatever. So why am I doing that to my one and only son? So I'm saying, if it was me in my human nature, maybe I'd have been like, I don't know, man. Maybe actually these people should let their own sons die for them just so they feel the pain of losing a son and they will stop the foolery, you know? But anyway, that's just me. But then because God loves you and I so much, he was like, no, I'm going to send my one and only son into the world to die for the world, just so I can reconcile them to myself, right? And Christ accepts that. He's like, you love them, I love them, so I'm going to go and die for them, right? And God does this because he didn't want us, because first of all, let me backtrack a bit. When Adam and Eve sinned, right, and they fell away from God, it separated them from like that intimacy and the presence with God. That is why as human beings, we spend all our life trying to return to that intimacy with God in whatever ways everyone tries to do that, right? Because the natural nature of man is to have an intimate relationship with God, right? But then because of that, and because God is holy, God doesn't associate himself with sin. He doesn't stay in the place where sin is. His manifest presence, where sin is, he don't do that. That's why there was that separation, right? And so Christ agrees to come and die for our sins. So that John 10 verse 10 talks about how he came so that we may have life and life in abundance. So Christ came so that we wouldn't be doomed. And because sin has consequences, for the wages of sin are death, is it? I don't want to butcher the verse. But yeah, the wages of sin is death. The payment, the consequence of sin would be eternal death for us. But then Christ was like, I don't want that for them. I want them to live and to be reconciled with God and to have life in abundance and to be able to access eternal life. So that's why I'm going to go down there and I'm going to die for them, right? So God sent his only son so that we may live through his son, right? And because Christ loved us so much, he cleansed us of our sin by his blood, right? Because back in the day, men used to slaughter animals as a way to like cleanse themselves and appease God. But then the blood of the animals was not enough to sustain them into salvation. That's why God had to send his son, so that his blood was going to be sufficient for us, right? And so in all that, in all sin having its consequences and, you know, all of that stuff, right? Sin separating us from God, in everything, God sends Christ to reconcile, or rather to save us to himself, and to bridge that gap by dying for us. And salvation came through Christ, because as humanity we couldn't save ourselves and stuff like that, right? That's why God had to give his one and only son, so that he would save us from that eternal damnation, right? Right? Right. We get that part, right? So now it's like, okay, God sent his son. His son dies for us. His son gives us salvation. Is that it? Like, oh, that's just it? And then now we're cool. Kinda, but not really, because in as much as God gives salvation, you have to receive salvation. Right. Now, how do we receive salvation? Because what do you mean? How do you... It's a gift, yes. Backtrack. Sorry, let me backtrack a bit. None of us have to pay anything or earn salvation in any way. The word literally says that while we're still sinners, Christ died for us. We didn't, none of us went to God and were like, you know what? We are making all these mistakes. We're sinning. How do you feel about like sending your one and only son to like maybe take the blame for all of us? None of us went to God and asked him that. Like, none of us asked that of God. He gave of his own free will. He gave out of his abundance, like out of the abundance of his heart. And for the fact that he loves us, that's why he gave it, right? Like, that's why he gave his son. And that's why he gave us the gift of salvation, right? But then it's our part to receive that salvation. In as much as we didn't earn it, nothing, there's nothing that you can do that can get you saved, right? But you have to receive that salvation. Like, it's like if I give you a gift, you can choose, actually I don't want this gift, or okay, I'm gonna take the gift, I'm gonna accept it by opening your hands, right? How do we receive salvation, right? Romans 10 verse 9 tells us that we are saved by confessing the Lord Jesus and believing in our hearts that God raised him from the dead. So it's two things. You believe and you confess with your mouth. That's how you receive salvation. What do you believe and what do you confess with your mouth? That Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead. Matthew 10 verse 32 and Luke 12 verse 8. Jesus is telling people that whoever confesses him before men, he will confess him before the Father and the angels in heaven. So if you deny God, or rather Jesus on earth, Jesus is a chill dude. He won't force it on you. He won't be like, he won't get to heaven and be like, yeah, this person denied me. No, if you deny him on earth, it's fine. He doesn't have to confess you in heaven if you deny him on earth. Right? Because he's not gonna force you to spend an eternal life with him if you don't want to spend your life here with him. That's a story for another day. I don't want to get too much into that, right? But then that's basically how we receive the salvation of God. And we see it with Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, when the Ethiopian eunuch was like, what stops me from being baptized? And then Philip tells the eunuch that if you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, like if you believe in your heart, nothing stops you from being baptized and being born again, right? Like right there and then on the spot, nothing stops you from being born into God's family, right? And the thing is, in as much as belief is of our part, we can't do any of it without the Holy Spirit. Like we can't confess Jesus is Lord without the Holy Spirit. Why am I saying this? Because the Bible says it. Like, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Go read 1 Corinthians 12 verse 3 and Matthew 16 verse 17 for context, right? And then I hope it will bring more understanding if that's what you're looking for anyway. So yeah, I don't know why I feel like this topic is kind of like, because it's speaking to me as well, so it's kind of, it's a bit, I don't want to say heavy, but then it's like, it's packed, it's loaded, and it's telling me that I need to go and get in my Bible, and I need to read more things about this, right? So, that's basically how we get saved. by God and how we become the children of God. John 1 verse 12 tells us that those who received him and believed in him have been given the right to become the sons of God. And so we become a part of God's family when we accept Christ. We become the children that are called royal priesthood, heirs to the throne with Christ, co-heirs with Christ, when we receive Christ and when we believe in him and when we accept in him and all that good stuff, right? And so just to summarize things, the summary is that, number one, we were born sinners because of Adam and Eve's disobedience. Two, that sin separates us from God and leads to death. Three, Jesus came to restore us by taking our punishment. Four, salvation is a gift we receive through faith in Christ. If you have any more questions, contact us at I literally had to stop myself in that because this is not time for jokes. But so that's basically what I've been learning and what I continue to learn about God's love, and I hope it helps someone. And if you listen to this and you feel like maybe you'd like us to go into conversation about it, like genuinely, I'm not making jokes this time, I'm assuming that you have a way of reaching out to me, be it on social media, maybe on WhatsApp. Don't call me though, like, especially if we don't arrange an appointment, don't call me. But like, we can definitely talk more about it and learn more about it, because I'm still learning, right? I'm learning. And so if you'd like us to learn together and to just explore the topic a bit more together, feel free to reach out to me and we'll see what God teaches us. And I hope this blesses someone. And disclaimer, since I was talking so much about being in the month of love, I forgot to tell you guys that I'm wearing red socks. Because I was like, I literally said, okay, let me get into the spirit. Took a nice shower, looked cute. I was like, let me spray my nice perfume for this podcast episode. I know you guys won't be able to smell it, but then I smell cute, okay? Spray my nice perfume that's in a red bottle. I'm so dramatic. And then I was like, let me wear my red. The socks are actually written Merry Christmas, but like, no, actually, they're written Holiday Season. But like, I was like, let me wear my red socks, because love is in the air and my heart is right there. I hope your heart is right there too, because mine is. My heart in the air? I don't know, man. I don't know. Is it? You tell me. So I hope we enjoyed this, and I'm so excited for this series. Like I said, we are going to be exploring a couple of topics on that and seeing how we learn and talking about personal experiences and stuff like that. So I hope this blesses somebody out there, and I hope that you continue to take care of yourself. Please show yourself some love. Like we're saying, it's the month of love. It's, some of you celebrate Valentine's. Me, I don't believe in Valentine's. I don't believe in none of that. Is it even a belief thing? Anyway, so I hope most importantly you guys show yourself some love. Show the people around you love. Treat people well. Take care of yourself. Hydrate. Move your bodies. Me, right now, as I end this episode, I'm about to go to the gym. It's very cold outside. That's demotivating. But I'm about to go to the gym. Why am I having a thought of taking a nap? Because I just looked at the weather outside and I'm like, do I really have to go to the gym? But because I'm trying to love myself better, I'm going to go to the gym, work out, eat well. And then after that, I have got work on my days. I have work. So I hope you guys continue moving your bodies, taking care of your bodies, taking care of yourself, hydrating, eating well, and all of that stuff. And catch you on the next episode. Bye.